This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha, it's a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, getting ready, one new man, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. I am so excited about what God has in store for this year, what God has in store for you, what God has in store for me. I tell you, every fiber of my being is saying this is God's time to have mercy on America. This is God's time to have mercy on planet Earth. Heaven is growing and drawing closer to Earth than ever before. Because there's going to be a shaking. I mean, it does say in the Bible, yet once more I'm going to shake this earth, and those that are not on a firm foundation, they're going to fall. So I'll tell you, if there's areas that you need to repent and get right with God, you better, because when heaven draws close to earth, if you've got sin, it'll destroy you. So you've heard enough. Repent. Change your behavior. Believe that the blood of Jesus washes away your sins. Now, I have been so looking forward to this interview this week because, you know, it says in Scripture, he that touches Israel touches the actual pupil of God's eye. And one translation says, he that touches Israel pokes their finger in God's eye. So the operative question that I want to ask you is, why care about Israel? And the book and the author that I have on the telephone, the author is a Messianic Jew by the name of Sandy Teplinsky. I'm speaking to her at her home in Anaheim, California. And the title of the book is Why Care About Israel? Let me ask you some questions that we'll be discussing this week. What is the tiny nation of Israel about? Why does it even exist? As a Christian, how should I understand the Arab-Palestinian-Israeli conflict and respond in love towards all involved? Is there a biblical solution to the conflict? How is the Holy Spirit working in the lives of Jews and Muslims today? What does Israel have to do with my personal relationship with God? And I love the subtitle of the book, How the Jewish Nation is Key to Unleashing God's Blessings in the 21st Century. Sandy Teplinsky, we have met on a number of occasions. You're a Jewish believer in the Messiah. I always ask this question because I know that this is a God book. Therefore, there's a God circumstance that had you write this. Why did you write the book, Why Care About Israel?
This book really has, this book was not written as a theological treatise, although we certainly do include numerous biblical references, and all things need to be tested by the Word of God. But this book was written fundamentally out of my personal journey with the Lord Yeshua over the past decades. And my goal in writing this book is to take the readers on the same sort of experiential journey into the very love chambers of God's heart for all his people, the kind of journey that he took me on over the years, which primarily is the result of a very unusual background that I had stemming from my childhood. I did not come into this thing through a Messianic Jewish congregation. They didn't exist when I came to the Lord. I came to the Lord actually out of a very violently anti-Jewish setting. Even though I'm a baby boomer, born in the United States, I grew up in a really roughneck kind of neighborhood, not very far from a local Nazi headquarters. And I had to learn to physically fight as just a primary grade kid. for the many times that I was called Dirty Jew and Christ Killer and Go Back to Israel and all sorts of things. So you can imagine that by the time I came to a saving knowledge of Yeshua, there were lots of issues that needed to be addressed. And God used those issues to bring me not only to a place of forgiveness, but to a place of really entering into the love chambers of his heart for his church. You know, the nations, the Gentiles, some of whom may or may not have been Christians, I don't know. You know, the very ones that would beat me up in the schoolyard on the playground, you know, and I'd end up getting kind of schlepped or dragged off to the principal's office and in, you know, kind of rebuked time after time for attempting to defend myself and causing a playground scruffle. Those very incidents were that came through non-Jews could only have been healed through non-Jews. And so shortly after I came to the Lord, he graciously surrounded me with Christian believers who ministered deep healing to me. And, of course, the Lord is never satisfied just with healing. You know, he likes to replace it with something even bigger than the wound that was there. And so he began providing what was supernatural revelation of his heart for Jews and Gentile believers, Jewish believers and Gentile believers to come together as one new humanity or one new man, as your book is entitled. And so that became a springboard for a rather unique journey into God's heart for Israel, as well as God's heart for the Gentiles. And so along with that, I was going to synagogue. I grew up in a pretty orthodox type of upbringing, and at the same time, the rabbis were showing us kids, just 5, 6, 7-year-olds, unedited footage of the Holocaust, and we would sit there as, you know, just primary graders and watch these, you know, what looked like heaps upon heaps of skeleton-like bodies just plopped into mass graves, and we'd see these bizarre, macabre-like Nazi medical experiments conducted on kids our own age. And we were told, this is what the world will do to you. This is what Christians will do to you if you let them. And you must never again allow that to happen.
You know, I don't want to digress too much, but I have a Jewish aunt, because I'm a Jewish believer in the Messiah also. And I was talking to her recently, and she's in her 80s. And she said, and she loves me, and she respects my belief. She isn't a believer herself. And she asked me a question the other day. She says, why is it when I hear the name Jesus, I feel so repulsed. I feel so awful. Why is it? And you know, there's answers to that. It's almost, I said to her, you know, it's almost like a chess game. And the devil has caused people who call themselves Christians and wear the biggest crosses to have done the most horrible anti-Jewish deeds in history. And even though you don't know yourself of how horrible that past is, it's ingrained that a Jew can believe in anything. A Jew can be an atheist. A Jew can be a Buddhist. A Jew can be active in the New Age. All things that are abominations according to the Word of God. But the only thing a Jew can't do is believe that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, and then they're ostracized from the community. And it's such a stronghold among our people. How could you, Sandy, as a Jew that was beaten and persecuted for being a Jew, become a believer in Jesus?
Well, it wasn't easy. You know, I felt obligated to spit when I would hear the name Jesus. Certainly, you know, I'm not the only one of our people, as you point out, that reacts that way. And I vowed that I would never allow Jesus Christ or his people, who call themselves Christians, to do those sorts of things to the Jewish people again. I thought Jesus wanted me dead and hated me. I truly grew up with that understanding, because the people who said that they followed him communicated that to me by their words and their deeds. Now, I came to the Lord in trying to disprove the gospel. In college, I went on a search for truth. I remember being said in the Hillel Synagogue at the campus that I was attending my freshman year of college, and I left the service in the middle of the high holiday prayers in tears, crying, because I did not see an authentic expression of spirituality there. And it broke my heart, because along with all this anti-Semitism, I was growing up with going to the synagogue 5 days a week, and the fundamental prayer of Judaism, the Shema, which calls upon us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, I did not see fulfilled in my life, nor anybody else's around me. And so I left the synagogue in tears as a freshman in college, deciding that I needed to find God some other way, but obviously neither I nor anyone else that I could see was truly loving him with all of their heart, the way that our forefathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, and David did. And so I embarked on a search, all kinds of Eastern mystical things. You know, we call them New Age now, but they're really not new. And the Christian evangelist on campus spotted me, I think is ripe for the pickings, and they attempted to witness to me, which, of course, I viewed as simply another form of anti-Semitism. In witnessing to me, I thought they wanted me to convert from Judaism, to give up being Jewish, and to become a Christian, which naturally infuriated me. And so I determined to fight fire with fire. I went to the bookstore, bought a King James Bible, and began to read the New Testament from Matthew through to Revelation, specifically to disprove it once and for all. And Sid, I literally could not get past the first page of Matthew without being profoundly struck that this book was entirely Jewish, that it was extraordinarily different from all of the other books I had read. And I had gone through the Tibetan Book of the Dead, the Bhagavad Gita, I mean, all of these other Eastern types of writings. But the scriptures, the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Covenant, the very words to me contained a power and a love that I knew was supernatural.
And Sandy, I hate to do it. We're out of time. Mishpocha will pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast. Now, you got to trust me on this. There is a history of the Palestinians and the Jews that few Christians understand. And there is a blessing wrapped up in understanding what God is up to right now. This book answers your questions. Why care about Israel? For a donation of $15, call or write today.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpacha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.